Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys. I guess I'll just start with this, what you need to know. What you need to know, guys,
brought
is coming
by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
All right, guys. Comic-Con. You guys know about Comic-Con.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's coming back. It came back, actually, yesterday, and it's running through the weekend in San Diego. It's been on hiatus for about a couple years because of COVID, but they're finally bringing it back, and everyone's coming down, everyone's dressing up. You know, the big movie studios and Marvel and Disney and, you know, everybody else is making their big announcements of what's coming up, you know.
Awesome.
What's coming up. I saw today they're making, Marvel made a bunch of announcements about the X-Men.
Yeah.
X-Men cartoon, actually.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's coming back.
Nice.
Yeah, remember that X-Men cartoon back in the 90s?
I do remember.
They're rebooting it.
Nice.
Yes. Also, there's a big rumor tomorrow that Superman, Henry Cavill, will be playing, he's going to be making an announcement that he's going to be playing Superman again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. My second favorite Superman of all time.
Christopher Reeves has to be your first one, right?
Always. Yes.
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 Mine too.
I was supposed to go to AnimeCon. I was going to be taking my daughter.
That's right. A couple weeks ago.
And unfortunately, I landed in health and safety protocols. Could not take her. To be honest, it was so packed. I wonder if she actually would have liked it. Like, it was. I wonder if she would have been overwhelmed by that many people. Like, she kept insisting that if I tested negative in time, she'd have been fine with it. But I actually, the clips that I saw of it, I'm like, I think this might actually scare her.
Wow. Like, Funcho, are you a con guy?
I'm not a con guy, but yeah. I want to oppose to going.
Would you dress up? Would you spend 6 months on a costume?
I don't think I could spend 6 months on a costume.
I'm just checking. Okay.
You know, but if they, you know, if my daughter or my son wanted me to dress up with them, or if my friends wanted me to dress up with them, I guess I might have to dress up with them.
I am a geek and a nerd. I just don't have many geek and nerd friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to obsess
over
the right helmet to have for Darth Vader.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But I know people that are cosplayers and stuff like that. I mean, I know a girl, one of my friends, whatever, girls or whatever, that is a cosplayer. She's down there right now doing her cosplay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. God bless her. All right.
I know somebody that I used to be in a theater group with way back in the day. I believe she's a cosplayer, but for Ren Fair stuff.
Renaissance Fair.
Those are cool.
Yes.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to the one in like Baldwin Park, City of Industry, Irwindale
area? I think that's
area?
The one she used to go to, right?
No.
Yeah, in Santa Fe Dam?
I'm not sure which one, but I know, like, I would see pictures of her, you know, doing that stuff at, like, the Ren Fair, holding, like, a stein of mead, you know, like,
love
that
it.
Sort of
More
thing.
Mead, wench.
That's right.
Love it. Absolutely.
So now, you said you wouldn't obsess, DeMarco, over, like, the right Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah.
But would you go in the wrong Darth Vader helmet?
Like, absolutely.
Would you dress up?
I would dress up, go have fun. But, I mean, you know, you have those people that are, like, picky and meticulous. Oh, that's the wrong colored eyes. He didn't have that in A New Hope. You know, he had this and that. Dude, I'm Darth Vader. I'm having fun. Leave me alone.
Now, is that who you'd go as?
I wish I had the Force so I could choke you right now. You know, leave me alone. Yes.
Your lack of faith in my costume disturbs me.
Thank you. But I have gone before. They are fun seeing the actors, talking to those guys. I just don't like it when they try to force all this stuff on you to buy. You know? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever dressed at it?
No. I've never dressed up for one. No.
If you were going to dress as a Star Wars character, who are you going with?
Oh, Vader.
Vader?
Absolutely Vader. Yeah, no doubt.
Vader's there's gonna be
that's the only thing I can get away with. I can't dress up as Luke. You know, come
yeah,
on.
I mean, I guess it's Vader or Lando.
I've seen a black Han Solo.
Did it?
I'm like, dude, you have no friends, right?
So you're saying that the world of Star Wars is not post-racial?
I'm just saying it just doesn't. You know, it's weird. Yeah, but anyway,
every black guy gotta be Lando.
Of course,
you could be Lando or John Boyega's character
or Mace Windu.
Mace Windu.
That's all you get. Right. Just saying.
Or you could be like a Vader. You could be a Boba Fett. Because all those guys.
With a helmet.
Right. With
Stormtrooper.
Shields,
right.
They are, I guess, racially neutral.
There you go. Absolutely.
Speaking. Okay. I want to ask you this.
Go ahead.
Because this is something that I thought about when I was watching the Obi-Wan series.
I did see I saw a white Black Panther this Halloween.
Get out of here.
And the parents gave me a look like, I dare you to say something about it.
How old was the kid?
Like 8.
I'm good with that.
Me too.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah. I thought it was like a 30-year-old man or something.
I actually congratulated him. That's awesome.
Yeah. My middle nephew, Brian's middle kid, 1 year he wanted to go as Black Panther on Halloween. And, you know, Brian was like, I think it's cute. But he asked me, he's like, do you think it's all right? I'm like, hell yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
he's
it's fine.
He's a little kid. Like, I think it's great that he wants to be Black Panther.
But the Han Solo was a grown man. There was a problem there. There was an issue. Right? You know what I mean? Come on,
question.
Hold on.
Well, you both have daughters.
Yeah.
But if you had a son, because a friend of mine went through this for Halloween, his son wanted to be a Disney princess. And he was like, no. And I'm like, dude, why? Like, he loves Disney. He wants to be a princess. He's like, no, he could be a prince. And I'm like, your kid is 6. Like,
okay, here's actually the biggest question I would have.
I don't
personally object to it on any level. I'd be like, if he wants to be a Disney princess, he can be a Disney princess.
Mm-hmm.
My question would be, the Halloween circle that you're traveling in, are there bullying kids? Because there will be kids who might be looking to bully him over that.
Okay,
and
I don't want
his Halloween ruined because of that. If the kids are all going to be cool with it, I'm good with it. I don't care.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
If my daughter wanted to be a male character, would I have a problem with it?
If she would want to be like Iron Man or Captain America, or,
you know, I would say okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
I would say okay.
When the boy wants to be the Disney princess, most guys are like, absolutely.
That's
not.
Crazy. Yep. Okay. That's a tough one.
Okay. The question I had for you regarding Star Wars.
Let's ask Dave Chappelle. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, go ahead.
No, definitely not ask him. The question I wanted to ask you, because you are a Star Wars geek, admittedly. And this was something I thought about while I was watching the Disney Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor. In the Star Wars universe, these stormtroopers are so damn incompetent.
Oh, yeah.
They are awful
at
everything they ever do. How did they manage to take over, like, multiple galaxies?
There's a lot of them.
Is
That's
it just
why.
Sheer numbers?
It's just numbers.
They can't hit anything when they shoot.
Not at all.
They mess up every single assignment.
Well, they don't hit.
They drop easy.
They don't hit the right people. They don't hit the top characters. But they do, like, you know, shoot a bunch of rebels. They do.
But not
the ones without speaking. Speaking roles. They get shot all the time.
But,
yeah.
I mean, shouldn't they be able to take out the people that matters? I mean, when you've got that many of them.
There's a part in A New Hope where Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by Sir Alec Guinness, is telling Luke, trying to convince Luke to come with him. He says, and these blast points, too precise. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise. And you start giggling because they can't shoot.
No.
right.
No.
Yeah.
They're the most incompetent army in the history of incompetent armies.
No doubt. Like, but they have a Death Star.
I mean, there was a scene. They do have a Death Star.
They have
a Death
Star.
Great architects.
They have a Death Star.
There
was
a scene in Obi-Wan where Obi-Wan by himself basically took down like a dozen stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Through like hand-to-hand combat and a little bit of lightsaber work. I'm like, how?
You know, it's funny, like, what's the point of the armor? One shot and they go down like it's nothing. Yeah. You don't need the armor.
Is their armor foil? Like, what is that?
Right. I know. Not to get off on a rant.
I guess just if you recruit enough people and hit these different planets with swarms.
They are called stormtroopers. You just throw 1,000 through the door. Eventually, they're going to win. I tried to gamble with Marshall Falk once. Never gamble with a guy that makes twice as much money as you. Eventually, he's going to have all your money. All he has to do is wait you out.
Oh, so you were gambling against him?
Yes.
Okay,
I learned a lesson that day. Yeah.
What was the game?
He doesn't have to be good. He just has to wait.
Right.
Eventually, he's going to get it all.
What were you playing?
Tonk.
What is Tonk?
It's a card game.
How does it work?
You have cards, and there's a hand that wins and a hand that loses. And I lost a lot. Well, I won, and then I lost.
How does the betting work in that?
You just keep throwing money out.
But, like, Are you pre-betting?
I have no idea. This was like 1998. Right.
Okay, was he taking advantage of you because you didn't know how to play the game in addition to him having a bigger stack?
When you gamble, right? Eventually, no matter what, it's going to come back. Water seeps to its own level.
Right.
So if I have twice as much money as you, eventually I'm going to win.
Yeah. I mean, that is eventually how the casino always wins because they have so much money.
Yeah.
They can keep reloading whatever you take off them. If you stay there long enough, eventually the odds always swing back towards the casino.
I learned a valuable lesson that day, gambling with Marshall.
There is nothing, by the way, more fun, because I've done this in poker in Vegas a few times. Like I'm not going to win the World Series anytime soon.
Yeah.
I can play. I'm good.
You can play poker?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can play.
All right.
I'm good. For an everyday non-professional, I think I'm good.
Will you watch it on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Will you guys watch poker on TV?
Hell no.
No, that's a no.
I love watching poker on TV.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Do you play?
I play adjacent, like on an app or whatever, but I don't like playing in person.
It's interesting to watch on TV, but yeah. I don't think it's like primetime stuff for me.
So I was in Vegas one time, and I was with some friends, and we were all scattered because we don't all play the same game. And
yeah.
None of them other than me play poker. And I'm at a hold'em table, and there's this guy at the table who's one of these loudmouth guys who's always telling everybody how they're playing wrong, and he's the guy that's always reloading his own chips.
Yeah, yeah.
But I ended up in a game with him where he got a little bit – I don't want to get in the weeds of the hand, but – He got lucky with the flop. I got lucky with the river. But he
That's the
I
best
think,
feeling.
Right. He should have recognized.
It's like an episode of Rounders.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He should have been trying to push me out of the hand. Instead, mm-hmm. he was trying to keep me in it.
He was trying to bait you in, huh?
Right. And look, I had pocket aces in this hand. He wasn't going to get rid of me, but he should have realized his own hand was vulnerable. I caught a river ace.
Woo.
And I beat him. And it was after an all in. And he was so mad. Like, just furious.
Like flipped over the table or something?
Like close to it. He was yelling at me, like, I can't believe you stayed in. Like, why are you staying in this hand?
Right?
Like, you were betting to keep me in. You wanted me to stay in, right? He's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, well, then why are you asking why I stayed in? You never bet to get me out. And he was so mad.
Wow.
And then, like, a friend of mine comes over, and he sees, like, I've got this huge stack at this point. Like, I won, like, a couple grand in this game.
Wow.
And he's like, what's all these chips? How'd that happen? And I explained to him, soft enough that I didn't sound like an obvious jerk, but loud enough that I knew the guy could hear it, about how this guy misplayed his hand. And it put him on tilt the rest of the time. Like, he kept just losing chips, reloading. It is the best feeling in
the
world.
This is why I don't gamble right here. I have no idea what you just said. Any of that. None of that.
Okay.
I don't want to know.
picture what Marshall Faulk did to you.
Right.
That's what I'm
explaining. Okay, I got you. Okay.
It is the greatest feeling in the world to watch somebody who thinks they understand everything about a game and they know nothing about it.
Oh, that happens to me all the time with football. All the time. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's the best.
Wow. Okay. I would love to know. I think I'd be a good poker player if I really knew how to play.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to play.
You know what?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
You actually do need to understand how to play. Because, like, I remember when I first started playing, I would bet everything. I would chase cards. Like, I just wanted to be in every hand. And then I came to realize, like, if you actually want to win playing this, like, you got to understand the game. You got to be disciplined. You have to know what your style is, and you have to play your style. Like, if you actually want to play against people who know what they're doing and have any success at all.
I know a lot of people that play, and I never knew it. I've known these people for 10 years, and I didn't know they play poker. And when you bring it up, they get really serious about it.
Oh, what's funny? When the last time I was in Mexico with my family, this is at around the time when my daughter was starting to learn addition.
Yeah.
And we played blackjack as a way of teaching her addition.
Nice.
And she got super into blackjack.
Ah.
It's like the proudest moment of my life as a
father. Wow.
Like, I am doing a good job.
Nice. That's the extent of my gambling is blackjack, by the way.
All right. Coming up, things that aren't going well. Russell Westbrook,
aye,
the Lakers, you asked the question, can this actually work with winning?
No, not really.
No? Come on. There's got to be a way.
All right, we'll see.
Everything's on the table.
Everything's
on the table. I need to know this.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up next. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey.
Happy 61st birthday. Birthday.
Bye.
I'll see you last night. Saw you standing there. Have you heard this back in the day? Coming out of my car?
I wasn't born.
Don't knock.
Keith Sweat.
Yeah.
Is a really good name for the music that he created.
Perfect.
Like, you know how sometimes people look like their name?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Keith Sweat's music sounds like it was created by a guy named Keith Sweat.
Yeah, yeah. From the day he explained it, like, my mother's name is Sweat, my dad's name is Sweat.
And he must have made a deal with the devil because he still looks the same like he did back in 1987.
Does he really?
God, seriously.
He and Brian McKnight, they don't age. They're vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian McKnight, though, in concert.
I saw him. He came on the Best Damn Sports Show, and he was sitting on the couch, and I wanted to punch him.
Because he looks that good?
Like, there's no flaw. And you can sing.
Sing.
Yes. I hate you. You will never meet my wife. Ever. Ever.
You know, my wife has a very open thing for Chris Evans. You know, Captain America?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's aight.
He's aight?
He's aight.
You just think he's aight?
He's aight.
Well, is that sincere aight or just my boyfriend might be listening?
No, he's aight.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Michael B. Jordan, now who, baby?
See?
Hey.
Mm.
Now,
some people like vanilla. Some people like chocolate.
My wife has a massive
You're not going to say no?
My wife has a massive thing for him.
Yeah.
And I've told her, like, forget like the whole hall pass thing. I'm like, it would be financially irresponsible of me, assuming he's a good guy, assuming he would be good around my daughter.
Will you stop? Stop it. Don't go there. Don't go there.
No.
To stand in the way of this.
No.
Come on. It's true. It's just, like, as long as he's willing to essentially pay me alimony for my lifestyle. Because, you know, my wife and I, she works. I work.
Yeah, yeah.
Her salary helps my
lifestyle. You better fight for your love, man.
For real. What is this?
Come on now.
Don't.
I'm being practical about
this. Okay, like, it's funny. Okay, not funny, haha, but kind of funny. Because I joke with my boyfriend, and I'm like, babe, like, what if I find someone who's, like, uber wealthy? And, like, you know, and he's like, what are you trying to say here? Like, are you trying to have an over?
You say
and
peace.
I was like, no.
But you say peace.
No, but it was, like, a joke, right? Because, like, my parents have been married for, like, over 40 years. And my dad jokes sometimes with my mom. It's just like, go find yourself an old guy that's about to croak with money. Then come back to me. I'm like, Dad, what the hell? But it's all in fun because they've been married for 40-something years. Like, that's, like, their weird jokes. So I try to do that weird joke with my boyfriend, but we've only been dating for a little bit. He's like, what
Not
the
happening.
Hell?
No,
you haven't been
40
together
years.
Long enough.
Yeah, 40 years. Very different. I'm sure you and your wife have been together for a minute.
What you just described is a Indecent Proposal reboot.
It is?
Yeah. See? Except he's encouraging it. Go ahead. Go.
Well, but this isn't even a... Well, no, let's be honest. It's totally about money.
Yeah, it's about money.
But it's really about my daughter.
Okay.
It's not about me trying to pawn my wife off on somebody else. This is really me thinking about this practically, thinking about like the idea of my daughter having access financially to anything she wants, being in a situation where, you know, she and I are doing fine right now, but like
we're not
never have to worry about money again. She's with Chris Evans.
Nah, you're going to have to scrap. Yep.
Never have to worry about money again.
Sorry, Brian. We're going to have to go.
We're
going to have to go.
DeMarco.
Yeah, yeah.
Without putting your business out in the streets.
Yeah.
You are in a different financial
We're still going to go.
Tier
yes. If Drake showed up, I get
they
it.
Ain't drank that cute.
I'm just trying to think of a guy. I'm just saying, Mr. Steal Your Girl. We're still gonna go.
I mean,
if you win, you win. But I'm not gonna like encourage it.
You're gonna put up a fight.
Oh yeah, we're gonna go. I may lose. You know.
Well, no. But here's the other thing. You can put up that fight. You're gonna win. You're absolutely.
I'm just saying. I may lose. She may choose and walk off.
Oh, I thought you meant the fight against Brian McKnight. But you're gonna win that.
You're gonna walk off missing an eye or something. Yeah.
I just feel like at the end of the day, I'd still be in my daughter's life. I would still be a great father to her. However, her own lifestyle could improve in ways that could be really beneficial to her.
Yeah.
It's selfish.
That's a saccharine daddy. That's not sugar daddy. That's saccharine daddy.
Right. It's selfish of me to stand in the way of this as a father.
I can't concur. I cannot concur with you here.
Laura, you look like there's something you want to read.
My boyfriend texting is like, Michael B. Jordan, babe. I see.
You what?
Because I said Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. And he said what?
He said, I see, baby. Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
I need to stop being so open on air.
Okay. That's
it's going to get me in trouble, y'all.
No, these are the things that eventually, after a while, you've been in the relationship long enough, you can just be honest.
Nah. Yeah, right. I do not concur. You stop. You just got married. Stop
Megan
it.
No, but I've been married for 12 years.
There are no
Megan
hall passes.
Good. Megan Good for y'all. She's hot.
She's hot, but I mean, she's not on my like top 10.
I'm not even like, I don't roll that way, but she's hot.
But what I'm talking about isn't even a hall pass. Like, this is a.
He's trying to get her married off.
No, he's trying to get paid. That's what Andy's trying to do. Andy's trying to get paid. Let's be real. That is what he's trying to do.
I suppose you could get cynical about my intentions when I mention the alimony that goes
to me. See, he's trying to get paid. He's trying to pimp his wife right now. That's really what's going on.
Well, you are a poker player. Look at you.
This would sound way worse if I didn't have a child. If I didn't have a child, this would be absolutely
It's still bad. Either way, it's bad. Either way. All right.
877-710 ESPN. Yes. All right, so Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, what is the way? You tell me you ran the Lakers. You are Rob Pelinka. You are part of the Bus family. You are stuck with Westbrook. You are. He's immovable. We're going to have to play him and play to win. How? You tell me how this works. What would you do?
Well, to begin, Darvin Ham has to develop, and so far he is really looking to do this, whether it works or not, a real relationship of respect between him and Russell Westbrook, I think professionally and as men, cliched as that may sound. He is really going out of his way to prop up Russell Westbrook, like to say the people out there that are leaving him buried and dead, you don't know what this guy is as a player. Like, he's done way too much for him to be dismissed like this. And Russell Westbrook is a former MVP and a first ballot Hall of Famer for a reason. And we are going to see that next season. But
dismissed meaning like the Westbrook, the jokes, all that stuff?
All of
it. What are we talking about?
All of it.
Okay. All
right. The way he's being dismissed as a player, the way he's being dismissed as a teammate, the way he's being dismissed as a winning basketball player. All of it.
Okay.
But he is also holding Russell Westbrook accountable before the games have even begun. The things that he needs from him. He needs him to be an attentive, invested defender. He needs him to be a guy that will screen. He needs him to be a guy that will sometimes play off ball. He needs to be a guy that will play a role.
Why would I have Westbrook off ball?
Because
to do what?
To cut.
Pass?
To cut.
Okay, to cut. Okay, to cut. Fair, fair. I mean,
if Russell Westbrook is willing to cut aggressively off ball, that guy going to the basket at minimum will draw fouls. If LeBron's setting him up, LeBron will find him.
Yeah.
You know, if AD could possibly even find him. But, there are ways that I think it could work well enough if Westbrook is willing, if the other pieces around them play well.
Wait.
And guys stay healthy on the court.
Well enough. Finish that. Well enough for what? To be credible or to win a championship? Because we're talking about winning a championship.
Somewhere in between.
I think it was all about championships.
Well, but that may not be in the cards right now. This roster is not good enough to win a championship. But this roster also has issues even if you remove Russell Westbrook.
Healthy AD.
Healthy
LeBron AD. LeBron James.
Sure.
And a more amenable Westbrook is not championship caliber. That's not a big three.
It's not a given. I think it is a big 2.5.
Who's the point five?
Russ.
But if you get him to buy in on defense and do everything you just asked him to do, don't you go up to a full person?
No, because
a full star?
No, because I think at this point Russell Westbrook is going to be more of a high-end role player, if that's possible for us, because a lot of things you look for in a role player, specifically shooting and defense.
Then Darvin Ham is wrong. Then everything everyone's saying about him is right then.
Well,
I thought it was just a misfit. I don't think he's as bad as people say he is. I just think it doesn't fit here. So if you get him to buy in and do the things you need to do to be on the floor with LeBron and AD, and it's not considered a big three, then everything that people say about him is right. Right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Here's the thing. The people saying that Russell Westbrook is no longer a superstar, I think they're right. The people saying that Russell Westbrook is washed, they're wrong. Russell Westbrook, even with all the issues that he had last season,
He's
not washed.
He's not past his prime.
And in particular, he's not washed. This is one of the real problems the Lakers have. In terms of the talent scale on this team, he's still in the upper half of this team.
He's still a fantastic player. What was the first one? He's not washed. What was the other one?
He's not a superstar.
He's not.
No. His athleticism is at a point right now, and that athleticism was what really more than.
Is James Harden still an all-star or a superstar?
He is more of a superstar than Russ because he can shoot more. Like James Harden is scarier in more places around the court.
Because he can shoot.
As a scorer.
Okay, yeah.
James Harden is perhaps diminishing because of injuries and conditioning issues of his own. And he's obviously not somebody you're going to look for defensively.
Yeah.
But Harden is playing at a higher level right now than Russ.
I agree. I am amazed by some guys that don't evolve. I think Westbrook is one of the guys that did not evolve his game.
Not an inch.
Yeah. His idea of evolution is just go faster.
Well, you know what's funny about that? During his exit interview, and you know his exit interview was a scorched earth affair.
Yeah.
Like he went off on Frank Vogel. He took shots at LeBron.
I can only imagine.
AD.
He took shots. What did he say about LeBron?
He was asked about the idea of LeBron and AD letting Russ be Russ. You know,
yeah. What did he say? I missed this.
Said it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Said it didn't happen.
Well, that's not a shot at LeBron.
It was a shot at LeBron and AD because he was asked specifically the context of LeBron and Russ allowing Russ to be Russ. Allowing Russ to be Russ.
And he said it didn't happen.
Said it didn't happen. He's like, y'all know it didn't happen.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But what was funny about this was
LeBron, did he not do his homework on this? I'm just asking. I mean, you didn't know this was coming?
It was a great. Okay. You know how LeBron, Russ, and AD had that dinner at LeBron's house in the offseason before the trade happened?
Yeah.
You know, supposedly talked about
sacrifice. Too much wine.
It's exactly.
Really?
On the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, which, by the way, everybody should be subscribing, Locked On Lakers.
Yeah, beer goggles.
One of the commenters pointed out, never make these type of decisions after tons and tons of wine.
Wow.
And probably Lobos tequila.
He was in I love you man mode.
Mm-hmm.
We can make this work. Yeah, you forgot how difficult this is going to be.
Okay, coming up, though, with the Russ discussion, I want to bring up something that I asked him about during his exit interview, because something you said, DeMarco, reminded me of this and where the Lakers are right now with Russell Westbrook at this stage of his career. So we're going to talk about that next. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, 710 ESPN. Oh, we got Radio Tinder coming up as well. So we will do one or the other, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you, Chris.
That's, oh, God.
That was a little inside joke there.
I thought that was Laura.
Oh, hell no.
I thought that was Laura. I'm sorry. No. Don't ever do that again, Funcho.
Trying to do my best Ohioan accent there.
Got it.
But, all right, guys, a California man has sued Mars, the company that makes the rainbow-colored Skittles candy, claiming that the use of titanium dioxide in the candy makes it unfit for human consumption. So the use of the additive, which is employed as a coloring agent in foods, isn't illegal in the United States. The FDA permits it. The FDA permits it in its food, but it restricts it to 1% of the food's weight, basically. So
okay.
Mars contends it's done nothing wrong with the Skittles brand or whatever. They're saying that, you know, we did nothing wrong. It's safe for you to eat or whatever. But the question is, so I will not eat Skittles anymore. Swipe left or swipe right, DeMarco.
Oh, swipe left. Marshawn Lynch says they're fine.
Exactly, exactly.
So I'm going to have them. Absolutely. Do not stand in between me and my Skittles. Are you crazy?
Andy.
Swipe left. I mean, at this point, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Thank you.
I've had this many. Whatever damage is probably already done.
We're there. Yeah.
I know. How many times have they said, don't eat something, but we still eat it? You know,
hot dogs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hot Cheetos. Exactly. Yes. Absolutely.
I can't imagine at this point. I mean, how many of these do you have to eat before it becomes life-threatening?
Let's find out.
Please don't.
I mean, I'm a billion, in. You know, probably in one sitting, you know?
Watch. Marshawn Lynch is going to end up in the hospital next week. We're all going to feel like jerks.
On a flight to, where were we? Going from L.A.? No. St. Louis to Seattle. I ate one of those big bags of Skittles, the big family pack of Skittles. In like a 3.5-4-hour flight. Is that bad?
That's bad, but it's got nothing to do with the lawsuit.
Oh.
No. How did you feel after that?
Good. Great.
I was on such a sugar rush, I couldn't feel my entire body.
Really, really talkative.
Maybe you want to go to with Chris Evans? No.
Yeah. Ah, see? There you go.
By the way, shout out to Patrick Abandi. Patrick Abandi.
Shout out to him, man. I'm with the high school with him.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, I know Patrick. I know Patrick.
How do you say his name?
Abini, I believe.
Abini.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, shout out to Patrick. He just sent out a gif of Sweet Daddy Williams, the pimp from Good Times.
Oh, yeah.
At Cam Brothers after Chris Evans sends the first check.
Wow.
That is
shout out to Patrick, man.
That guy was scary.
Sweet Daddy?
Yeah, he was coming after Keith.
JJ?
Yeah.
You in trouble?
Thelma's boyfriend, the running back. Yeah, yeah. That was bad.
I am kind of a Good Times savant.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
I know a terrifying amount about Good Times.
I love that show.
Okay.
Damn.
Do you guys remember there was an episode of Good Times that I don't think is in repeats anymore?
Yeah. Before or after James died?
No, this I don't remember.
Okay. All right.
But JJ and Thelma are having this argument where JJ is saying there's no such thing as great female role models that are as great as a male role model.
Oh, wow.
And with every example that Thelma throws out, like Florence Nightingale, Rosa Parks, Joan of Arc, JJ counters with O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my God. Wow. Like some things
Rosa
do not age
Parks,
well.
O.J. Simpson.
I'm sure you can find that clip on YouTube
Florence
or something.
Florence Nightingale, O.J. Simpson.
There's another one. I never thought we'd be here with O.J. Never.
Never. Have two that we won't say, but are pretty good.
That's one we can say.
Yeah. That's one.
Yeah.
I remember before all this stuff happened with O.J., and really what we learned was there was a lot terrible going on with O.J. before anybody other than really the cops and the people close around O.J. knew. I used to see that guy out more than probably any other celebrity in L.A. I used to see him everywhere.
No doubt. Wow.
I mean, he was all over L.A., incredibly popular.
No way. Yeah. That's never thought we'd be here.
True.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Next one. Henry Winkler, better known as the Fonz from Happy Days, said he had an embarrassing encounter with Mick Jagger. Now, while speaking on last week's Jimmy Kimmel Live, the actor opened up about being completely starstruck when he met the rock star. I was in a restaurant. I walked up to Mick Jagger and I said, "Hello, I'm Henry Winkler, and I have all your albums," Winkler said. Then Jagger barely even turned his head to look at Henry and just simply saying Henry and going about his business. Like Mick Jagger would do. And now Winkler said, "I slunk out of the restaurant. As I left, he recalled showering the front man with compliments, saying, 'I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you. Enjoy the sushi. It was such a pleasure. I love your outfit.'" Now, so you have an embarrassing incident with a celebrity. Swipe left or swipe right, Andy?
That is, yes is right.
Yes.
Yes is, yeah, swipe right. Years ago, Brian and I were doing a magazine assignment involving Carmelo Anthony and Gene Simmons.
Ooh.
They had Gene Simmons, yes. I guess.
What a combo.
Yes. Yeah, they had teamed up. This is really early in Melo's career. They had teamed up to buy a car in the, I think it's called the Indy Racing League. It's like, you know, it's not NASCAR. It's one of the other ones. Like
Indy.
Yeah, Indy. And I was doing a story about that, and we went to Gene Simmons' like true mansion. Like
wow.
This thing is a straight up mansion. His office had every single bit of Kiss gear ever made. And and that's a lot because those guys merchandised everything. There were Kiss coffins.
Yeah.
I heard about that. Yeah.
There were Kiss condoms. Like they had
everything Kiss
thing.
Yeah.
So we are waiting for Mello was running late. So we're waiting for Mello, and Gene Simmons's wife comes out. His wife is Shannon Tweed.
Yeah.
For people unfamiliar with Shannon
Skinamax.
She was a Skinamax.
Queen of Skinamax.
Yes. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, I've seen you naked like a million times. Like it was just weird.
Drooling.
It wasn't even so much drooling as it just was like I became overly self-conscious. Like I felt all of a sudden like I was a voyeur in this place. Mm. I introduced myself as Brian.
Oh. You did not.
I was
on purpose?
No, on accident.
Oh, on accident.
I was so flustered and so out of sorts. I introduced myself as Brian.
Oh man, wow. Wow.
Like, I'm Andy.
Wow.
Yes. It was so just weird. Like, again, this Skinamax queen is like walking in, "Hey, does anybody need drinks?
Yeah.
Can I offer you a coffee, tea?
Yeah, can I offer you a soft drink?"
Absolutely.
Like, it's just too bizarre.
Oh, my goodness.
DeMarco, what did Gene say? Go ahead.
He just sort of smiled, I think.
I bet he's been through this a few times. Oh, no doubt. I got a crazy one. Okay, at Fox, right? We were doing this TV show. Michael Irvin, Tony Saragusa, God rest his soul.
Yes.
It was a show that had dancers. So it was called the NFL show, and they had dancers. And so we got kind of familiar with the dancers, the female dancers. So they took me out to a club. Now, these are the girls that dance on like the Grammys or dance for, you know, artists when they come to town and whatnot. So she took me to this club, and lo and behold, right in the middle of this VIP like section was Janet Jackson. Right. And Janet is Janet back to the good time days.
Yes.
Love Janet. I have been waiting forever to shoot my shot at Janet. Do you know what came out of my mouth? I play football. That's all I got. That's all I had. And I like slinked away out and just left. Right. She said, "That's nice." Right. That's all I had. That was my moment. I play football.
One shot at Janet Jackson. Your one shot.
Did your voice crack?
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what to say. I play football. Smile.
I play football.
She was so pretty. She was glowing. I didn't know what to say. Yeah. Completely caught me off guard. So I know what you mean.
I remember one time. There have been actually, I mean, this is a city where you see a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
You see a lot of really attractive ones. There's been a few times. Like, I remember seeing Charlize Theron at a Laker game.
She's gorgeous.
She is just as good looking in person. J-Lo is another one.
Yeah.
I saw J-Lo this past year. Ooh.
Beyonce is another
she's
one.
Gorgeous. My God.
She's stunning.
Alicia Keys, too.
Alicia Keys.
Katie
I'll tell you
Perry.
One time, I saw Antonio Banderas at a Laker game. I was like, I'd run off with you.
Wow.
I mean,
he'd be Selma Hayek.
He was. I mean, you're just looking at me like, That's a gorgeous man. Like, I'm secure enough in my masculinity to say that is a gorgeous
man. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen Love and Thunder yet?
Not yet, no.
Don't take your wife to see it. I'm just saying.
Did you listen to my whole thing about throwing her off to Marvel people?
This is different. That's if you met Chris Evans. This will be somebody oogling at the screen.
She's
just saying.
She's a big Marvel fan. We're okay. Well down this road already.
Laura, any stories?
So I don't have... I feel like if I would have met like Michael Jackson or Prince, I think I would be in that category of I don't know what to say. Those are probably the only two people. But I don't have an embarrassing... I've shared this on air that Usher dissed me when I met him. So I'm like...
Usher dissed you?
Yeah.
How?
So really, really quick, I used to...
Don't be dissing Usher now. That's my dude.
I don't care. He's an ass. So I was...
guess we'll never book him anymore.
You know?
I was at a radio station when I was like 21. I was super excited. Actually, oh my God, Trey Songz was there that day too. Super sweet guy. Usher comes in, does his deal with the station, and, you know, people are taking pictures. And I was never that person to be like, oh, I want to take a picture. Somebody's like, dude, go get a picture with Usher. It'll be cool, whatever. You love his music and stuff. So I go, and he, like, had glasses on. He puts his glasses down a little bit, looks me up and down, puts them back on, and walks straight away. Doesn't say anything.
Wow.
And then his security guard taps me on the shoulder and goes, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. Maybe next time.
Wow.
And I was like, F you,
maybe
dude.
Next time.
You
gotta
let that burn.
Boom.
No.
Wow.
And I'm not the
he
only one.
He was in
one.
Character.
No, yeah. Hell no. Because Lindsay talked about how he was an ass.
Yeah.
And Beto talks about how he knows people that he was an ass.
You will not sway me. I love Usher.
I don't
come on
care.
Now.
He's
you will
ass.
Not sway me. I'm
ass.
Sorry.
Ass.
I'll take a picture with you. How about that?
We've taken pictures before.
I'll take a picture with you. Yeah.
Okay. Coming up, we are going to address that question about Russell Westbrook now that I know the segment order.
I've already lost hope. There's no way.
Okay, we're going to get into that. And specifically, you said something when we were talking about this in terms of where Russell Westbrook is in his career and the issues that can come with that that I want to talk more deeply about.
Okay.
So we're going to get into that. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, 710 ESPN. Happy birthday, 81st, to the... great, and I do mean great, George Clinton.
No doubt. Best, another guy that has survived. Never thought. Right.
Best concert I have ever seen. 1992, the Palladium, P-Funk All-Stars. They played for like 4 or 5 hours without a break.
No way.
They were I've seen them like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
DeMarco, they were on.
They had some good stuff.
This is great. This is great, too, before we get to the Russ thing.
Yeah.
When I saw the P-Funk All-Stars, this is like right around when, you know, the Chronic started reintroducing his music. But it was before, like, George Clinton sort of reinvigorated himself back into, like, sort of the mainstream again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's
a comeback.
He had like a surge.
Yeah.
Me and my college friends, we were the only white people at this concert.
No way.
Like,
okay.
We were the, like, some guy when we were in line actually said to us, he's like, boys here to scalp tickets? We're like, no, sir, we're here
P-Funk
to see
is
some
for
funk.
Everybody. Yeah, P-Funk is for everybody.
They were on.
I thought George had some white guys in the band.
Well, I wasn't counting them.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. Well, did anybody else have this experience? When I was in college, at frat parties, especially the black frats, whenever they played this song, the party got ruined.
Why?
Because the cues went nuts. Didn't anybody else have this? No? Every single party I went to in Seattle, as soon as they played Atomic Dog, party was over. Within 5 minutes. That and the DOC.
The cues just took it too far?
Oh, my God. They'd tear up everything in sight. That was their thing. Every single party. No. Okay, it was just me then.
It's so great. Some friends of mine, I had a birthday a few months ago. They got me a cameo from Ozzie Smith.
Yeah.
You know, the great Cardinal shortstop. You
no
know,
doubt.
From St. Louis. I grew up watching Ozzy play.
My acting mate.
What do you mean?
We're in a Nelly video together, me and Ozzy.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Air
great.
Force Ones. Me and Ozzy Smith are in a video, yeah.
But in this cameo, because my friends know I'm such a big George Clinton fan, they had Ozzy sing, Make my funk the P-funk.
Yes, sir. Ozzy Smith.
I did not expect at all.
No way.
That was fantastic.
The Wizard, my man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, tell me, please.
Okay,
what did I say?
Okay, before we get to that.
Before we get to that,
I actually want to hear from Big Rob in Hollywood. He's been waiting for a while. I want to pay off him waiting. You're on with us, man. What's up?
How big are you, Rob?
Still there, Big Rob?
How big are you?
Baby. Woo, woo.
How big are you, Rob?
I'm 5'8", dog. Hey, but I hit like I'm 6'9", though.
Okay. All right.
I just want to, I'm the guy who called y'all last season, and y'all said I wasn't a fan because I told y'all the Lakers wasn't going to make the playoffs. And y'all said I'm not a fan. And now I'm calling. First of all, I want to say I feel so sorry for Westbrook. He's getting all the blame. He's the new kid in the school getting the blame when he shouldn't be getting the blame. And the next thing is the Lakers' whole front office should fire themselves and never talk to LeBron James again about who they're bringing in.
I think that part's good.
There's nothing wrong with this team, man. The thing is, it's built wrong. They need shooters. And let me tell you this. I am so upset. This offseason, free agency, Joe Ingles was available, and they did not sign him. They signed some other guy. I don't even know his name.
He is coming
I'm
up.
Like, and then another thing, LeBron James is always calling guys in from retirement. He called in J.R. Smith. He called James Jones off of retirement 1 year. Why in the world hasn't he picked up the phone and called J.J. Redick one time and said, man, just give me one season?
J.J. Redick?
J.J. Redick. We need shooters, man. Well, I mean, jump shots don't go anywhere.
Right now, Big Rob, with and I appreciate the call, man. With the life that J.J. Redick's got going right now.
Oh, he's fine.
He's just – you ain't getting that guy out of retirement.
Nah.
He is absolutely fine.
It's fun to see him spar with Stephen A. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
He's got his thing going with Stephen A and Mad Dog and his own his podcast gets huge traffic.
Can you can win a championship without shooters, can't you?
It is really difficult.
I was trying to think. Rec, you would know better than me. The last team, the worst shooting NBA champion – was who?
I mean, you might have to go, honestly, off the top.
Were the Spurs that good from the outside?
Some of those teams were, yeah.
Because Tony Parker couldn't shoot.
He could shoot some. They, you know, Manu was a good shooter.
Yeah.
I don't remember. They had, I think.
Bruce Bowen.
They may have had Brent
Matt
Barry.
Bonner.
Yeah, Bonner. I mean, they had shooters
they
on
had
those
shooters.
Teams.
Anybody, the worst shooting NBA champion?
Honestly, this is purely off the top of my head. It might be the 2010 Lakers.
I was going to say that the 04 Pistons.
04 Pistons.
Yeah.
But that was when you go back to a completely different game.
Different era. Very okay.
True. Totally different game.
Okay.
Thing I wanted to ask you, though, Marco, you talked about guys who are superstars who are at a place in their career where they need to transition beyond being superstars.
To evolve.
Right, to evolve. And I actually asked Russell Westbrook, not specifically about evolving as a non-superstar, because that's just too political, for lack of a better way of putting it, a question like that. You're going to rub him the wrong way with that from the beginning. But I did ask him during his exit interview, again, this exit interview that he went scorched earth on, I asked him if he embraced the change, the adjustments that Frank Vogel asked of him, as opposed to looking to just do them.
That's a good entry.
Well, but that's but you know, there's a difference.
That's a great entry to that question.
Right. There's a difference between just doing it versus embracing it. And Russ understood exactly why I was asking.
What did he give you?
He not only insisted that he embraced those adjustments asked of him, but that he's always been the guy that's had to adjust the most with every team that he's been on.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. I'm going through my mental Rolodex of every team he's been on. It's the same guy we just saw in a Laker uniform. So where's the adjustment?
Russell Westbrook is. I mean, he's an all-time great. He is an incredibly talented player.
Yeah.
He is one of
Derrick Rose, who stayed healthy.
He is one of the least flexible players I've ever seen in any sport.
Least flexible? What do you mean? Like
least flexible in terms of what he will do.
Oh, what he will do.
Right. In terms of being flexible with his role.
Okay, taking it one step beyond, and you would know better than me. It's not what he will do. It's what can he do?
That's another question. Because there are things that you look for when guys start transitioning into role players. It's often defense. It's often shooting. Westbrook can be more attentive as a defender, but he's got a lot of bad habits over the years. He's not going to just become a shooter, no matter how much he puts his mind to it. I mean, I am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's worked on it over the years. He's just not good at it. So there are certain
at defense
or shooting. not a shooter.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Those are often the things that superstars do when they start transitioning to a different stage of their career. And those are things that he's not good at. So you've got a question with Westbrook of both willingness and capability.
Has anybody ever asked LeBron, what were you thinking? Like, point blank. Like, tell me what you saw.
Well, he is going to say that this wasn't just his decision alone, which it wasn't. There are other people involved.
Okay, we know what that is. We can't say it on the radio. So has anybody ever asked him, LeBron, what were you thinking?
No. Nobody.
No one's asked him that question.
No, because I think it's kind of a non-starter, and he's not going to bury a current teammate.
Funch, can you call LeBron for us?
Yeah, get LeBron on the
call phone. Call LeBron James, right, and we'll ask him right now. What were you thinking?
Call Blaze Pizza. He's probably at Blaze Pizza.
I really want to know, like, what were you thinking? What are we missing here?
Blaze is good, by the way.
It really is.
Blaze is very good. Did you ever play, though, with guys that had to make that transition?
Sure. A lot of guys. There was a guy named Robert Holcomb. We drafted him out of Illinois. He was a running back. He was a tailback. He was a primary ball carrier. He was okay. I think he could have been a solid starter. Then we got Marshall. So
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Marshall Faulk was better.
And Robert transitioned to fullback because that's where he got in. That's where he could play. I thought that was great.
How did he take it, though?
He was fine. He bit his tongue, subjected his ego a little bit, and became a fullback, the best fullback we had for Marshall. So at some point, you're going to have to evolve or change your game to make it fit if you want to win. Really, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm trying to be in Westbrook's corner, but it's either you're resistant to evolving and changing for the betterment of the team, or you just have no idea how to.
Well, I mean...
One, I can forgive. The other one, I can't.
I think... To be fair to Russ, I think it is difficult to picture yourself doing anything different when the way you've done it for so long has amounted to so much success, and you've had success in spite of some of those flaws. Like, Russell Westbrook was an MVP when he still was not a good defender. He still was not a good shooter. He still did not do certain things that the team now really needs him to do, things that he'd been criticized in the past for not doing.
Yeah. You think he's lost a step? Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
You think he's lost a step?
Yeah.
Oh.
Athletically, yes.
I still see the same 1,000-mile-an-hour guy.
Well, he is playing...
With springs.
He's playing 1,000 miles an hour, but I think the rev up is a little bit different. The explosiveness once he hits 1,000 is different. Like, his percentages around the rim have dropped. He does not finish the way that he used to. There was a report, I don't remember if it was the Times or ESPN or the Athletic.
If you're inside that restricted line and he's coming at you, he's cramming. Yeah, that is still there.
No, it's not. No,
what?
It is not.
Come on.
No, it is not. I mean, Funches, you watch the season all year. It's not.
Westbrook on a breakaway with one guy that's in the restricted line. That's what I mean. If he's flying.
Well, that's fine, though.
He's cramming.
But that's a really specific situation where most guys can cram it. I'm talking about being able to finish in traffic.
Okay, fair enough.
Most guys, if you give them a breakaway, they can finish that against one guy.
He's had some ugly stuff this year.
Yeah, but he lost a step.
He lost a step. Okay,
I mean, all right.
Look, Russell Westbrook having lost a step is still more athletic than a lot of other guys. But the problem is those other guys may not have had their game as predicated specifically on their athleticism.
Yeah, okay.
Westbrook's game is so
predicated on speed.
Yes.
Okay. That's
speed
what I said.
Explosiveness.
He's Derrick Rose that stayed healthy.
Yeah.
Once you lose a step, you're not as effective anymore.
And he is now at a place where he needs to do different things. He needs to be able to adjust himself mentally.
Need to shoot.
Through pride, all these different things. And he also, I think, is very hyper aware that nobody wants him here right now.
Oh, even Michael Jordan evolved. Well, Michael Jordan didn't have to, but he did. I mean, that's what I'm. You can't be a drive and dunker your whole life.
No.
Especially on this team.
Well, in the meantime, I want to prepare Laker fans. I think there is a really good chance Russell Westbrook is going to be on the roster this coming season.
So, what you're telling me is we're not going to win a championship.
May not win a championship.
I hate you for this.
It's not my fault.
You just ruined my day.
I advise them not to make the
Westbrook
deal.
Where's Chris Evans when you need him?
All right, coming up next, what you need to know. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr in for Sedano and Cap, 710 ESPN.